Welcome to another Kansas Policy Institute podcast. I'm your host, Paul Sutar, and we're here today with Congressman Mike Pompeo. Hello, Mike.
It's great to be with you, Paul.
It's great to have you here. So you are speaking at Kansas Policy Institute's annual dinner, and you have some history with KPI.
I do. It's a real privilege. I'm looking forward to it very, very much to speak to this group tonight. I served as a trustee for the Institute now a long time ago, but care deeply about its success and about the policies that it's pushing, and I look forward to seeing some old friends again tonight as well.
Oh, excellent. Well, you've got a heck of a job cut out for you in your efforts to tame the beast in D.C. How's that been going?
You know, medium. It's a nightmare to try and shrink government when you have a president who truly believes in his heart that if they took more money from Kansas and Kansans, America would be a better place. And so we are every day doing battle. When I came in, the deficit was $1.5 trillion. Next year, it'll be $500 billion, so that's better. But it's $500 billion. It's still an enormous amount of money, and there remains a lot of work to do to get the structural deficits out of Washington, D.C.
That's a challenge in the states as well. But the states have a little bit more flexibility to try different ideas and borrow ideas from others.
They do. The bad news in Washington, D.C. is we have a printing press. We have, under both Republicans and Democrats, for now 60 years plus, spent way too much money. And frankly, we weren't honest. We didn't tell folks, well, if you want that, you have to pay for that. Instead, we borrowed it. We put that burden on the generations behind us. The state's got a little bit of a different challenge. No printing press, has to balance every year, but still has the ability to play some games and hide some things and spend some money in ways that don't have real ramifications, and we need to fix that here in Kansas.
Well, that's certainly been a problem. It's a unsung issue, I think, in the state of Kansas, where Governor Brownback inherited a very large structural deficit that was hidden off budget, sort of, through all sorts of measures, telling schools they had to show they were paid for something they really weren't paid for and not use that money till the next year, and certificates of indebtedness and all sorts of issues that Brownback is having to repair at the same time he's trying to give some tax relief.
Look, he's trying to accomplish two things. He's trying to create space for liberty and freedom and smaller government so that there'll be opportunity, so businesses will want to come invest in Kansas, right, to create that next facility or that next agricultural product or whatever it might be, to do that here in Kansas, to create an environment where folks want to invest their capital in Kansas. Simultaneously, he's had a cleanup for 8 years of Kathleen Sebelius, and that's an awful lot of work.
That is a big challenge. Now, you know about the creating opportunities and building business and making payroll. You've been a part of two very good businesses here in Kansas.
I miss it, to be honest with you. It's the real world. I've been now in Congress 4 years. And for the decade plus before that, I was running a manufacturing company here in Kansas, one called Thayer Aerospace that made airplane parts, a second that did the same kind of thing in the oil and gas industry, kind of old-fashioned manufacturing of hard goods. I loved it. It was always a challenge to convince customers that your product was worthy. I wish that we had the same discipline in the government.
Oh, that would help fix our both state, local, and federal government if we had that.
Yes, sir, in a heartbeat.
Well, so what's next on the horizon? Where do you think this fix can come from?
Well, I'm hoping the states will lead with a seriousness that demands the federal government ultimately become serious as well. When I say that, the good ideas that I've seen in my 4 years have almost all come from the states. Governors who were prepared to speak the truth to their constituents, to talk to them in a way that was real and therefore respected. And I hope that same kind of thing will begin to take hold in Washington. I hope the American people will elect members of Congress and United States senators and in a couple years a president who take seriously this obligation not to spend money we don't have.
Yeah, and that raises another issue that we're very fractured in this country right now. And even on the right of center, there's fractures between the traditional GOP and the Tea Party. And that's the reality of politics. How have you fared in that challenge, and what do you think is on the road ahead?
You know, Paul, it's interesting to watch these presidential candidates as sort of the harbinger of things to come. We've got folks from lots of different parts of our party, but they are all uniformly serious about speaking to the size and the scope of federal government, right? They disagree on many things, but on that, they nearly all come together. They recognize that you can only move so far so fast, but are all completely prepared, I think, to make the decisions, not only the hard decisions, but to explain why those matter and why there'll be good outcomes for America if we'll simply be serious about making sure that we demand the resources only that we're prepared to pay for.
Right. So not spending more than you have and making sure that people are in charge. And I know that's been an issue that you've been really in the forefront of, especially with the Benghazi hearings. And I know that doesn't have a whole lot to do on its surface with Kansas, but holding government accountable and making sure that the right records are kept and accessible. We have the same problem here in Kansas. I don't know if you knew this, but the State Board of Education, those board members, elected board members, don't even have an official email address. They're not even offered one. And so the Kansas Open Records Open Meeting Act has zero application to those people.
It's remarkable. We, on the Benghazi committee, had been working diligently to try and make sure we had all the records. We have four dead Americans. We're trying to figure out how to make sure this kind of thing never happens again and that we do, in fact, hold elected officials accountable. And we come to learn that our Secretary of State didn't have a government account, that she conducted business for all of that time, official business, non-official business, business related to all kinds of activities, and at no time had a .gov account. That is a remarkable thing, and presents not only governmental accountability issues, but let me assure you, the State Department has a very sophisticated encryption system. I would be shocked to learn if the Clinton server had an equivalent security system, so I'm very concerned who might have seen those emails, even if it's the fact that the committee never gets a chance to see them.
Oh, that's horrible. That's absolutely horrible. So in your remarks to for the dinner remarks, you talked about some real fundamental pillars of building the kind of society that has worked traditionally in this country. You want to go over a couple of those real quick?
Well, so we talked about a couple of them, right? You can't spend money you don't have. Better to have local government do something rather than the federal government do it if it's at all possible. You know, a third one is just this simple idea that attempting to redistribute wealth always destroys it. It's inevitable. I've worked on this one little agency. When I came to Washington, D.C., I did not know what the Economic Development Agency was. I'm sure most of your listeners don't know what it is either. It goes by the acronym EDA. It spends $480 million a year. That's a lot of money to me and you, but frankly, in the scheme of the federal government, kind of a small thing. And yet does nothing but redistribute wealth. It literally takes the money to Washington, skims about 20% for overhead and salaries and all the things that agencies do, and then redistributes it across 435 congressional districts. It is crazy. And yet it has proven enormously difficult to unwind.
Well, and you talked about that some local folks are upset that you've taken a stand against it because they're hoping to win that lottery someday.
Sure. Sure. And I don't fault the folks who apply for the grants. The grants exist, so be it. But we should all be advocating for leaving that money in Kansas. Why try and play the lottery in Washington, D.C. when you can instead keep the money in the pocket of Kansans? And if your project is worthy, make the case for why Kansans ought to fund the project. That makes a whole heck of a lot more sense than playing the EDA lottery.
Well, of course, because you're going to have some overhead costs with just running that thing, even if it's run appropriately. But then you have things like you mentioned the money that went out to Nevada for a certain former leader of the Senate's project.
We have a list of about 50 projects that would each make your head spin. One of them was the Harry Reid Industrial Park. There was another one that was a recreation of some Egyptian monuments in the state of Indiana. They were built, but you can't get there. They never finished the road. The list makes your head spin, and it's what happens when government is not held accountable, and all of a sudden you hand a group of bureaucrats a set of monies and say, go make people politically happy instead of giving them a good economic outcome. And that's what the EDA does. It's why I hope before my time is over I can get rid of it, but there's a lot of work left to do to even convince Republicans that that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's always been a challenge. So for the average, average citizen, somebody like me who's just, working his job and trying to make ends meet, what can we do? Where can we put our energies to help get this fixed?
So I guess I always offer three things. First, I'm deeply committed to the idea that to the extent constituents disengage and don't pay attention, elected officials will sense that and begin to behave even more poorly. So engage. Read the newspaper. Pay attention. Understand what's going on, not just in Washington, D.C., but on your city council, on your school board, at the state level. All of those folks who work for you, hold them accountable. Understand what they're doing. Ring them up. Call them. Send them a letter. It matters.
Well, part of holding them accountable would be also getting the truth out. I mean, if you look at the budget debate here in Kansas right now, if you're just reading the newspaper and watching TV, you're getting one side of this debate, and it's not a good one.
I was actually going to talk about it. The second thing is recognize that the intermediaries between those elected officials and you oftentimes come with an enormous bias. Certainly our media does. Often our state institutions, too, do as well. They have an agenda. They have money that's going to their particular cause, and they're going to darn well do all they can to protect it. So make sure you understand the source of the information you're receiving. The final thing is there is nothing that can't be cured by electing the right people. And I mean that broadly. I don't mean just your member of Congress or your school board member. I mean to every walk of life, whether that's at the business that you're working at, whether it's at the PTA organization that you're involved in, or the leadership in your Boy Scout troop. Good leaders always lead to better outcomes than you get in the absence of good leadership. Make sure that the folks that are around you, that are leading the organizations you're a part of, are really the right people. If we do those things, America will continue to be the greatest nation in the history of the world.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking time to talk to us. And for our listeners out there, again, if you want more information on the topics we talked about today, a good place to start is kansaspolicy.org.